2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning. Welcome into hour number two and the final one for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. Always nice to have you listening. Tim Hughes in the studios of KSL at Broadcast House in downtown Salt Lake City. We're recording this program on Thursday for air on Saturday. Bob Grove is with us from down in L.A. Virkin, Cougar Country, we understand. Stand by for a lot of bad cougar jokes in the next 10 minutes or so. Anyway, Bob, thanks for joining us. Coming in a little bit early today.
Oh, my pleasure.
You okay down there?
I'm still thinking of our off-air conversation. So.
the cougars in your neighborhood.
That's right.
Yeah. And you said coming up on our road trip, and you're going to take us back through some of what your trip was this past week at the Mighty Five, huh?
Yeah, I think we're going to experience a little bit different environment this year in the parks than what we have the last couple of years.
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully some of those changes actually resolve some of the crowding issues, too. We'll see. Time will tell. Navinovskis is also still with us here. Navi, thanks for hanging out.
No worries. Good morning.
Also want to remind you, and I didn't mention this when we started the show this morning, the final two segments, the last half hour of the show, is going to take you to Promontory, where I had a chance, believe it or not, my entire adult life has been here in Utah, but I've never taken the opportunity to be at Promontory Point when they were recreating the driving of the Golden Spike as the Central Pacific and the Union Pacific came together and built this transcontinental railroad. It was really quite a day for us, and I don't know if you've seen the pictures, guys, on Facebook, but my entire crew actually dressed up in period outfit, and we became part of the show up there on Tuesday this week, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. I didn't see any difference in your...
Yeah, because I dress that way every day, right?
That's right. She's like, oh, I'm dressed up today.
Chris Dallin joined me along with his wife, my wife Becky, Bill Rogers, Camille Rogers, Camille Dixon, Rogers, who, of course, we've had on the show many times, Voices of Disneyland, were there with us. And then a train enthusiast, actually a train historian that works very closely with the Disney company, also made the trip with us with his wife, Debbie. And we just had a great time. We'll share the conversation with you in the next half hour. I want to bring Darren DuBois in with us. He is the Game Mammals Coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources. Let the cougar jokes begin, Darren. We're going to talk about cougars cougars here in Utah, and I joke that I'm married to one. She's 6 years older than I am.
You really have to be careful when you're doing literature search on your work computer, cougar-related stuff.
I hadn't thought about that.
I use mountain lion by default.
Just there you go.
It's safer that way, yeah.
Which can, yeah, especially on a company computer, that'll get you in all kinds of trouble with IT.
Yeah, I'd like to keep my job.
That a boy. Which takes us to the first question of the day, because these names or these terms are used interchangeably, and I guess they are the same thing. A cougar, a mountain lion, a puma, same thing?
Yeah, puma, panther in Florida, catamount, there's all kinds of names. And one of the reasons for that is that cougars are they're a species that just ranges all the way from Canada to South America. They're just a really prolific species. The Florida panther is one that's had some concern in recent years because it got cut off from you know, a lot of populations that used to extend out to the east. But right now in the west and down through Mexico into South America, there are cougars everywhere.
Mm. See, in Navi, when I hear panther, I think of, you know, big black cat is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
it's like the catamount, like he talked about, that's, you know, Mount Nittany in Pennsylvania, and also up in Vermont, they call them catamount as well.
Right. Yep. Same animal. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
There is a misconception that these guys just sit in the wilds of Utah and prey on mountain bikers and hikers, but they really they're really more interested in a lot of other things, aren't they?
And trail runners.
Yeah. And trail runners like Bob. Although he's not good eating, I know that.
No, I'm thinking of that video that came out a couple of years ago of that one kid trail running when the mother cougar was.
Yeah. And she stared him down. I do remember that. And I'll bet you saw it too, Darren.
Yeah, oh yeah. That was that guy did just about everything right in that situation. He came on. It looks like a mother. You could see the kittens right at the beginning of that video. They kind of took off across the trail. So that seemed to be what was motivating that.
I think the best story is Fort Collins, Colorado, where that cougar attacked that man and was biting on him while he choked him out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was a lot of times, that was my understanding was that was a fairly young animal, and which is probably why he was able to do that. But that a lot of times those are the ones that get into trouble. They're young. Cougars will kick, especially young males, off at about 2 years old and get ready to have another litter. And they sometimes they wind up in places that aren't best for them to be. So
yeah.
I work with like adolescents on a regular basis, so I know how they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Navi's been known to choke out a few. Navi's been known to put a rear naked choke on somebody with that MMA background.
That comes in useful.
Yeah. Cougars, though, in all seriousness, are interested in prey mostly on deer, don't they?
Right. Yeah, primarily it's deer. We're working with USU right now and BYU both on cougar studies, looking specifically at what animals in Utah are eating, and it's deer by far. That's the thing that they're after most of the time. Hmm. They'll eat other things. They'll kill and eat elk. But they're even finding little things like grouse. You know, they're kind of caught. There's not much left, just feathers, but you can tell they spent some time there. So
yeah,
they'll eat anything they can get their hands on. Porcupines, they turn them over.
Yikes!
Start from the belly, so they're pretty good at making a living out there.
Well, and you've got toothpicks that are built right in there.
Exactly. After convenient.
You can pick your teeth afterwards. My wife was telling me that, and she's mountain biked most of her life. She got me into it after we got together 25 years ago. But she tells me a story of riding, and I think it was even right up here in the foothills around the University of Utah. And she was riding in a trail, and she saw this cat, and it just never, you know, she never felt in danger, but it just sort of followed her along and kept an eye on her for a while. More people have probably had encounters that they didn't even know about.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think if people realize how close they've been to mountain lions when they're spending time, especially, you know, in the canyons and around places where deer are frequenting, they'd probably be a little nervous about it, but
when those cougars come up to University of Utah, they don't fare very well.
I knew there
oh boy.
There was gonna be a football reference coming in here somewhere.
I was wondering why it took Navi so long to get to that point.
You're just waiting his turn.
Yeah.
So Darren, let's talk about we've only got a couple of minutes here. Let's talk about if you do encounter one, and we hope it's not, you know, quite as dramatic as the video that we all remember so well. You said he did everything right. He faced off with this cougar and made a lot of noise, as I remember.
Yeah, I think at the end he actually was able to get some rocks to throw at it too, and that seems to be what finally broke off that encounter. But yeah, just you don't want to run. They'll outrun you, and if you've got your back to them, you may trigger a lot of times if you encounter the lion and you see it, it's not intending you to eat you. If it was intending to hunt you, you probably wouldn't see it until it hits you. That's how they hunt deer. They sneak up and attack. You know, it's quite a thing to be able to sneak up on a mule deer and not be known. So if you're seeing it and encountering it that way, face off, make noise, make yourself look large. If you can pick something up to defend yourself, that's a good tactic. And do whatever you need to do to make sure you make it home safe.
Yeah, and if you are attacked, then obviously you want to fight back and
right.
keep an eye out for your neck and your head in particular. But if you can get away, but don't run out of the – that looks enticing. At that point, it's sort of a game with you and the Cougar.
Yeah, it almost flips a switch, and they – oh, okay, this is what we do when stuff runs from us. So,
yeah.
That definitely is something you want to avoid.
What about a couple of tips just around your house? If you have property that's in an interface zone in the foothills or something, light-sensored or motion-sensored lighting probably is a way to keep them out of the backyard?
Yeah, I think that can help, and just avoiding having things out there that, you know, we talked about these young animals that may, you know, they make it into pet food, especially if they're hungry and they're not being real successful hunting. Outside livestock, chickens, a lot of people, that's real popular right now. And pets, just especially at dawn and dusk, be careful about letting pets out and not keeping an eye on them when you're in those interfaces. If you've got deer around, you've probably got cougars somewhere around as well.
When should we consider reporting a cougar to you guys?
Those types of situations, I mean, a lot of time, we're getting a lot of camera, you know, doorbell camera, house video, just monitoring type stuff. If it passes through and it's been several hours and you're not seeing it night after night, we don't need to know about it. And obviously, if you're in the backcountry and you see one at a distance, that's a cool thing. We don't need to know about it. But any kind of human interaction that puts a person at risk, pets going missing, livestock, or you know, chickens, whatever, being taken, or even a cat that's coming back over and over again that you're catching on your camera, you know, days after another repeated visits, we'd like to know about that.
Yeah. All right, Dan, we're out of time, but always great catching up with you. It's a pleasure again today. Thanks for all you do behind the scenes to keep us all safe out there.
Sure. Thanks. Anytime.
Wildlife.utah.gov is the website if you want to look it up. And our thanks to Darren DuBois for joining us today. Going to take a break. When we come back, we will go road tripping. The Mighty Five await. Stay right there.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Well, you know what that means. It is time to get back in the saddle and hit the road again with Bob and Mark road tripping.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I don't know why you say just can't wait to get on the road again. You guys are always on the road. At least it seems that way. Bob, we mentioned that you just got back from a fill-in job on one of the tours that somebody, I guess, a guide fell through on. So you jumped in the bus and headed to the Mighty Five.
I did. I spent the last week visiting all five national parks with a wonderful group from various places in the country, Florida, Maryland, California.
That's got to be fun, though. And, you know, it's one of these things. Everybody says, how many times have you been to Disneyland in your life? And I have too many to count. And people say, that must be boring. I can't believe you go back to that same place all the time. But when you're seeing it with somebody who's seeing it for the first time, you're really touching on the first time you went there by seeing their enjoyment and their excitement at the whole thing.
Exactly. That's how I look at it as well. People ask me the same question. I say, well, I'm seeing it for the first time through the eyes of my guest, and so that's what keeps it new.
Yeah. Mark Wade is also here. Mark, I know it's a busy week for you down at Ponderosa because you're hosting Ragnar. How many people did you say are participating this year?
Well, it's one of the Ragnar trail running events, and we've been hosting it for 7 or 8 years. And each year it's about 3,500 total participants, including all the sponsors that are there. And it's a great event. We shut down the whole resort for the weekend there at Zion Ponderosa, and it's just a great weekend.
Yeah. Crowds is one of the things we wanted to talk about with our Mighty Five, Bob. And I'll start with you in Arches and Canyonlands, since you were just there. They've gone to this reservation system. The hope is that it will make it a more pleasurable experience from the time you get to the gate and into the parks. I'm wondering, is it working?
Well, here's my experience. You know, this will be running through October 3rd from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. Is that during that time period, you've got to have a reservation for the timed entry into the park, which is an hour window. So when you book a reservation, you have an hour window to be able to enter the park through during that hour. My experience is I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's working well. It was a noticeable change for me. As a commercial operator, I don't have to book a reservation. I can just go in.
Well,
but as an individual operator, you got to get a reservation.
And it takes the stress and worry away of not knowing whether you can actually get in there or have a complete day.
Well, if you recall, last year they were closing the park nearly every day. When I was there last year, the gate would be closed and people lined up to the highway trying to get in, and they were just being turned around in the roundabout and going back out and trying another time. It just got out of control. And this was smooth. Went in and I found parking everywhere I went. It just felt good.
Oh, that's
very, very different from what I've experienced in the past. However, Canyonlands, as a result,
oh, got
that
slammed.
I think it's pushing more business over to Canyonlands, and Canyonlands is the least visited park in the state.
Oh, wow.
But because it's now this reservation, we went in early morning, so we didn't have any congestion, but there were signs set up on the road that if you are at this point, you have an hour wait to the gate. If you're at this point, you have a 30-minute wait to the gate.
Wow.
So, which is telling me that if you're going in during those normal daytime hours, when you need a reservation for Arches, it's pushing more and more people over to Canyon. So that's something to expect, and I would recommend going early in the day if you're going to visit Canyonlands and not wait till the middle of the day, because I'm afraid you're going to probably be in a more congested environment.
Wow, that is a good tip. Mark, talk to me a little about Capitol Reef.
Well, the thing we like about Capitol Reef is it's the main highway through the park. Highway 24 is open. You do not have to have a park permit to go on that road. There are some trails that are getting more, Capitol Reef is getting more busy. It's getting more popular. It used to be one of the quiet ones as well, getting more popular, more desirable. One of Bob and I's favorite places to go. But Hickman Bridge Trail and a few others, some of the Grand Wash, some of those are getting more traffic. And there are some other trails. If they go to our blog, people, listeners, go to our blog, we'll recommend some other places they can go to get some great experiences where there's just less people.
And it's just going to be more and more important to observe all of the rules that hopefully everybody knows about trail etiquette while you're out there. And just be nice to each other when you're out and about. It's, you know, may encounter more people than you anticipated. Bryce doesn't have reservations, do they, Bob? I don't think so.
No, no reservations there. They do have a shuttle. And this is what I recommend, because parking can be difficult. In my experience last week, it wasn't so bad. I don't know if it was because it was early in the year. Now, Bryce was the one park of the five that didn't experience a record-breaking year. The other four did. Bryce was down. It wasn't down, but it didn't hit new numbers that the other parks did. And I think that's because it's really a heavy bus destination. You usually get to see a lot of buses there, and we just don't have that business back yet. But I would recommend still going early in the day before the middle of the day when all the crowds start coming. All the most popular scenic viewpoints are always going to be the most crowded. Take the shuttle. Eliminate the hassle of trying to find a place to park. Just park outside the park, take the shuttle in, and it'll make it so much better.
And ultimately, it'll be a little easier walk for you because the shuttle has some priority there. And finally, Mark Zion. They don't have reservations at the gate, but they might on things like Angels Landing.
Angels Landing.
Yeah.
Sure. They've just started a permitting process on Angels Landing, and they have a system now where you can go to recreation.gov and you can apply for a permit to hike Angels Landing. You're going to need to apply in advance. There are some ways day before to also apply for a permit if you don't get one, and that there are some available spots, then you can see if you can get in the lottery there. But what we recommend is, of course, they have a shuttle system that goes up the main canyon, and that runs about 9 or 10 months of the year. During the winter time, that shuttle system is not operational. You can actually drive your car up the main canyon. But we recommend, and this is going back to Zion Ponderosa, there is a trail that goes out to Observation Point. It's from the Zion Ponderosa property. And Zion Ponderosa runs a shuttle out to the trailhead for guests, so you can go to the Zion Ponderosa Lodge. But when you go out to Observation Point, you're actually 800 feet above Angels Landing, looking down on Angels Landing. So that's an alternate place to go hiking if you can't get an Angel landing permit.
What a great tip that is. Yeah. So, Bob, one central place where you go to make all these reservations, I guess?
For in the parks?
Yeah, in the parks.
Yeah, recreation.gov.
Recreation.gov.
Plus, we have that. Plus, we have links on our website.
Oh, good.
So
well, let's just
go there as well.
Yeah, let's just direct them there. It is road tripping with Bob and Mark.com. My buddies. One of these days soon, we're actually going to be out there together. Guys, thank you as always for checking in this week.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
See you. We'll take another break here when we come back. We had so much fun at Promontory this week for the driving of the Golden Spike on its official day, May 10th. Lots of things I didn't know, though. It was supposed to happen on May 8th, and neither of those trains were supposed to be there either. I'll tell you the story behind the story next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.